T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Drs. Andrea Dennis and Eva Saranovich take your pet health questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or start WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis.
And I'm Dr. Eva Saranovich.
And we work on a daily basis in Bloomfield. And on Saturdays, we get to come to the studio here in Farmington, work with our producer, Mike, and answer your questions, talk to you over the phone. It's something we've been doing for decades now, and we enjoy it even on these gorgeous days of winter. So please feel free to give us a call. Talk about any questions that you might have about your pet's health, whether it's preventative health or you're actually having a medical issue right now or have recently had a medical issue. This is to help you and to help you make the best decisions you possibly can, and for your pets, for your family. And we have been told many times that what people tend to hear is from other patients or other clients as it has helped them. So feel free to call us at 860-522-9842 or 1-800-966-9842. So we'll be here for the next 50 minutes or so and would love to chat with you. So the phone lines, we're going to open them now. And as we wait for calls to come in, as we usually do on Saturdays, we have an issue that we always like to bring to the table to discuss. And it is the time of year that we talk and think about allergies, not only with our patients, which we will talk about on upcoming shows as well, because our patients get all sorts of allergies or allergic to all sorts of things, but also, you know, people tend to be allergic to their pets. And we need to keep this in mind, how we live with them, whether you're seeing an allergist, whether you're not. You know, we do know, as much as we love our furry friends, that the fact remains that roughly 15 to 20% of the human population is allergic to animals. So we have people that are in love with their pets. Sometimes they're in an unhealthy situation, and it's because they're allergic to their pets. Some allergists will recommend removing the pet from the home. But then there's others that just can't do it. They said, no, I'm going to live with this. I cannot be I can't separate from my pet. And others that where allergies are not as severe. But again, we're not at all contradicting anything that your allergist may recommend. If someone is seriously ill and potentially can have asthma, then you have to follow, you know, or at least listen to what your allergist is saying. We're veterinarians. We're not humans. Human doctors. Some of the symptoms that you can get from your pets are you can get red, itchy, watery eyes, your nose is running, you're sneezing and coughing, especially sometimes you'll get that sore throat, and others will get itchy skin, and of course we mentioned asthma, and that's probably one of the most serious side effects from being allergic to your pets. You have difficulty breathing.
Right. And people, you know, what is it that makes you allergic to an animal? And people are always asking about what breed is hypoallergenic? What if I get something with no hair? You know, we get those questions all the time.
Yeah.
And the reality is what people are allergic to is the proteins of dander. And dander is skin being shed. It is it is from their saliva, from them licking themselves. It's from their urine. It's from the oils on their coats. I mean, those are the types of things. It's those proteins that you tend to be allergic to. It's not really about the fur or do you shed or not.
Mm-hmm.
Any animal can make you allergic. Cats are most likely. Certainly, people are allergic to dogs. You can also become allergic to exotic animals. I know somebody who's very allergic to rabbits.
Yes. I'm looking. Who would that be? Yes.
Guinea pigs are also another one that people. Mm-hmm. So it's all these animals. They lick themselves. They have oils in their coat. They have the proteins from their urine. So they all have the same things in common that can cause this.
Right.
So there's no breed, there's no fur type that can make it over, but the question is, how can you manage it?
Right. And I think that it's most people, just like with our patients, our dogs and cats, when they're allergic to one thing, they're usually allergic to others. So
right.
People that tend to be allergic to their pets also tend to be allergic to dust mites, tend to be allergic maybe to even certain types of food. So what you can do is that, and that's what we talk about, an accumulative allergen load. And what you want to try to do to try to make it easier to live with your pets, if you've made that decision and you're allergic in some way, is to go and try to eliminate some of those allergens. And we have some thoughts about how you can do that, how you can make your environment, try to decontaminate that to some extent, and try to limit further exposure to allergens and people that will work with you. But again, we don't want you to ever be in a dangerous situation.
One of the things that's recommended as far as the environment goes is to have an allergen-free room. And mm-hmm. So you're often advising that your bedroom. So at nighttime, your bedroom is a place where you don't have the animals aren't in there.
Right.
You keep them out of there. Your body's not being exposed to these allergens for a good solid 8 hours or so.
Yeah, the rule in our house is closing the door to the bedrooms.
Yep.
Because they love to come in and slip on your pillow.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. keep in mind that to eliminate other allergens is you use hypoallergenic bedding and pillow materials so you don't necessarily have your feather bed type of thing because you can be allergic to the feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Limit fabrics. So you don't want heavy drapes. You don't want, wall-to-wall carpeting probably isn't the best. Things that you can wash are better than having things that hold all those dust mites and allergens in them. Vacuuming frequently, using a vacuum that with a HEPA filter or what they call the electrostatic bags, the disposable bags that will actually hold on to the allergens instead of just spewing them out the back as the air goes through.
Yeah, that's good.
Air purifiers can be huge for helping. So put an air purifier, but probably anywhere you can in the house to try to decrease allergens would be a good idea too. Your litter box, low dust, perfume free, because that's going to aggravate you. It's going to add to the allergy load. Dusting, keeping the walls and the surfaces dust free will be helpful. And as far as your pet bedding and cages, make sure you can wash things frequently and keep everything down.
Yeah, I was even saw something about even washing towels that you wipe your animals down mm-hmm. with, washing those every couple of days. I tend to have no allergies in my household. I'm really allergic to nothing other than rabbits, so mm-hmm. we don't have rabbits. But my son and my husband are. So I do the litter box the most, but there are times when my son will have to do the litter box and my husband. But that recommendation is really good, mm-hmm. even though that's not usually the most pleasant job in the world,
right.
But I do it every day. And talking about further decontaminating, what can you do to your pet? If you have this pet that some people in the house are allergic to, bathing them can be helpful. And I think you're going to have to find that balance between bathing them frequently, but not too often that you're drying out their hair coat. So one of the things I would recommend is not bathing them with a flea shampoo. Sometimes people think that's going to be better. And really, I tend to find those shampoos a little bit more drying mm-hmm. than they need to be. Something that's a sort of a moisturizing shampoo would be recommended. But bathing them, and even if you don't bathe them, even just sort of wetting them down with a wet, I was going to say like a washcloth or even a paper towel. They do make some products that you can spray on your paper towel or your washcloth and wipe your pets down. I think really the main thing is just wetting them is probably the main thing that can just help. But bathing, not too frequently. And if you're dog, or cat does have an infection of the skin, seek medical attention for that. One, you don't want them miserable scratching at themselves. But two, the more infected the skin is, which we call a dermatitis, that's just going to accelerate your skin and your fur shedding, which will just add up on that allergen exposure.
Mm-hmm. Brushing or combing frequently, too, mm-hmm. is important.
Outside, right?
Outside, absolutely. but also taking care of yourself. So if somebody else can clean the house and vacuum, Yay. That's never a bad idea so that you're not exposed. And as you said, you already do the litter box at home, right. So nobody else is exposed. Mm-hmm. If you are cleaning, a dust mask is a good idea. Washing hands after you're handling the animal, your pet, so that your pet, and especially before you touch your face. Then also they talk about having the set of clothing that you wear when you're playing with your animal, and then you throw it in the wash so right. you're not sitting in it all the time. And then remember, if you're suffering from allergies, find a good allergist mm-hmm. who can help you with medications, whether it's allergy shots, immunization shots, or whatever, but somebody that can help you out.
I think those are some of the thoughts about, you know, having a pet with allergies. And if you can try to help decontaminate, maybe you can live without it being so potentially life-threatening. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing. And again, getting back to our own lives, I know Dr. Saranovich, she has her allergies. Mm-hmm. She deals with them, but you're always very careful to wash. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows as soon as you finish petting the pet, whether it's cat or dog, wash your hands first. Don't rub your eyes. Rubbing right. your eyes is the worst thing, so always wash first. So we do have a couple of people calling in, and so we're going to get to those calls as soon as we get back from our very short break. So hang in there, Allison and David. You're listening to the Veterinary Edition of Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. It's a quarter. Welcome back to Pet Talk. The song is so appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about having dogs or cats that you may be allergic, and just the thought of having to give them up.
Right.
Lady Antebellum mm-hmm. saw them once in concert. Yes. And I guess they're kind of country. I think they're considered country, but they were good. All right, well, welcome back. You're listening to the Veterinary Edition of Pet Talk. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis, along with Dr. Eva Saranovich, and we are here for at least the next half hour, 40 minutes, to answer your questions. And because of that, we are going to make sure that we get every question of people that call today. We're going to do our best because we always appreciate your company. We appreciate your insights, and we're here to help. We may not have all the direct answers, but at least we can guide you either with your own veterinarians or into a direction that you will feel satisfied and get some direction. And Allison, you are calling in with a common concern. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hi, doctor.
Hi there.
Yes. Excuse me.
Sure.
Duffy, our bloodhound.
Oh.
Belonged to another family, and this is our third bloodhound. We've had two in the past that passed away, pretty old age. Mm. So she's our new one. We were looking for a rescue, so. I heard it on WTIC on a show about a home needed for a bloodhound, and I called in and connected to the dog warden, so it worked out perfectly.
That's great.
But my problem is, her problem is, when she came down the stairs, when we first went to the door, we could not believe the size of this dog. Mm. But once we got into the house, we understood. They free-fed her by taping the bag of dog food onto a door handle.
Oh, my God.
Mm. And it was just... Well, anyway, so we've had her. She hasn't seen our vet yet because she was vaccinated and everything. So we're going to see our vet coming up when vaccinations are due again.
Okay.
I think we've cut back on food. She has lost some.
Okay.
But she craves food.
She wants to eat all the time.
Yeah, she's used to being able to get it whenever she wants to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to throw by you what I feed her and see what you think.
Sure.
I feed Pro Plan,
mm-hmm.
That was recommended by our vet. I don't know. We used to feed grain-free, and they said that's not necessarily the best.
And right now, with the potential heart issues, we're staying away from grain-free until we know more.
Okay, so Proplan, mm-hmm. A cup, and then a half a cup of canned, and then if we have leftover chicken or something,
mm-hmm.
twice a day.
Okay. And you feel like she's losing weight on that?
She did to a point.
Okay.
And now she's not.
Okay. So a couple of thoughts for you. One is switching the food, you know, using a Proplan, but using a weight loss version, or talking to your veterinarian. Purina has some veterinary prescription diets too, and they have one called OM that I think is probably one of the best that I've seen of the weight loss diets that we've ever had.
Yeah.
That's supposed to help deal with craving to eat as well as, you know, as well as help with weight loss. So that's an option for you.
Because it has less calorie content.
Yeah.
And it does help the cravings too.
And two is, you know, maybe the volume needs to be cut back a little bit, and maybe to substitute there, get some vegetables or things for her instead, if she likes things like string beans, or, you know, some dogs like lettuce, some dogs like things like that. You might use some of that for her calorie content.
Okay.
And might I ask, are you doing any treats?
She loves her milk bones. So that's another question I had. Do you have any low calorie treat suggestions?
Well, I think vegetables, if you can use them.
Carrots,
things like that. Sometimes I'll give my dog one of the biggest carrots I can find, and let him sit there and chew on that, and it makes him happy. It's messy, but it makes him happy. The other thing is, if you go, if you're looking for individual treats, I mean, you can use little pieces of dog food. There's treats out there called Charlie Bear treats that are they're one calorie each. They're small. I mean, the big thing with treats is I don't think they need something large. To them, it's mm-hmm. the action of getting the treat. So if you can substitute with teeny pieces of something, you'll do better.
Okay.
The other thing is making, when you're feeding, when lots of times when people talk about a cup, you want to make sure you're very consistent. Everyone in the house is consistent. I often have people, it'll be the two owners are in the room, and one says, well, I give, you know, a little less than the cup. And the other one says, no, I give a heaping cup. And we go through this conversation, and then there's an argument starts, and it goes from there. But so consistency and knowing exactly what you're doing. Is it truly a cup? Is it a, you know, is it a measuring cup, and how level are we doing it? I mean, because some of the nutritionists talk about how you should technically weigh your food to be consistent. But I think making a few changes there. And then the last thing is if you do all this and she is not losing weight, then you check her mm-hmm. thyroid and make sure that's okay too.
Okay, I'll have to do that on the next vet check. So you said the name of that food is OM by Purina?
Purina OM. It's a prescription diet. You get it through your veterinarian, but it's specifically for weight loss. And you know, because you're dealing with two different things. You got this overweight dog, but you got a dog that is used to eating as much as she possibly wants. So this is a change for her. So you kind of have to deal with it on both sides. How do we keep her satisfied and happy? The other thing you can do is to occupy her when she wants to eat. Now, you have to be careful because not all food puzzles are created equal, and you don't want her, whatever toy you give her, that she eats part of the toy. But mm-hmm. sometimes part of her meal in a puzzle or a toy where it occupies her brain, too. So she still has this food. It's sitting in front of her, and I have to look for the food and play with it. Sometimes that's helpful, too.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, and that might be a benefit to you as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I love your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Allison.
You're welcome. You have a great weekend.
By the way, Allison, I am so impressed that you've had three bloodhounds now. I think they're gorgeous dogs. They're not the dog for everybody, but they're lovely dogs.
And if you don't like slime and slop.
Exactly,
and
exactly.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's so true.
Well, thank you very much again.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, on the other side of that too, just talking about you did a great job talking about the calorie intake, but then also too, maybe as the weather's getting better, I don't know if Allison's allowed to, can exercise.
Yeah.
You know, getting outside as the weather gets a little bit warmer.
Just to help with that too. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, the more, same thing with me, the more exercise, the better.
Right, exactly.
Especially after around the holidays. So, you know what? What we're going to do is, David, we probably aren't going to be able to finish with you if you don't mind staying on hold. Dave, I want to just talk to you because you have a three dog situation going on, right? Okay. Hold on. I'm going to try one more time with David. Let me just try.
Active and kept in a perimeter like the two
hey,
that were
is that now? David, are you with me?
Marriage, thanks. There are instances when I struggled. High school
okay, guess not.
From marketing.
Okay, must be talking. Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. So we're just going to take care of that and make sure we get rid of that one. Okay. So I think that was some lines got crossed there and some. Mm-hmm. So let me just make sure. We're going to just wait until we take the news because I want to make sure, Dorothy, we know you want to talk about an issue with warts and we've got lots of good information. So when we get back for the news, we're definitely going to talk to you about that. And I think Sheila's calling in with an issue as well. So again, with the prescription diets that you were mentioning, mm-hmm. like the OM, the reason why they're prescription diets is because they are very restrictive in calories. So the company wants you to work with your veterinarian and really proper good weight okay. loss. They don't want you to do it suddenly. They don't want you to do it overnight. So you might even, so that's one of the reasons why you get it through a veterinarian. Right. But I got to tell you, I agree with you 100%. There are some of those prescription diets that are just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So time for news. And then we'll come back with more veterinary pet talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. Yes, it's Saturday. It may be a little chilly, but the sun is out. And as long as the sun is out, your spirits have to be uplifted.
And the days are longer.
Yeah, I noticed
it
that
is so
yesterday.
Nice. I was driving yesterday, and it's 5:30,
yes.
and there's still sunlight. I'm like, this is so good.
It is. We were still at work, and then we can see the yeah. sunset in the west, and the sky still had some light to it. So, yeah, we're getting there, folks. You're listening to the Veterinary Edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and that was Dr. Eva Serenovich's voice that you just heard. We're celebrating sunlight and longer days, and we have several people that are waiting to talk to us here online. But if for some reason you just, you know, are in the car doing those errands, going to the grocery store, you know, you can always reach out to us through our website. And we have a lot of great information for you. And you can read about us, read about some of the things, some of the other shows. We have those on podcasts, too. So that's the Bloomfield Animal Hospital CT, which is for Connecticut, Bloomfield Animal Hospital CT.com. And there's a way of reaching us. So feel free to do that. And as promised, we are going to take another phone call. And that is going to be Dorothy. Dorothy, how are you?
Good, thank you. It's a nice day today.
It is, you yeah. know?
I have a problem with my poodle. He has viral wart.
Okay.
And I need something to prevent them, like a vaccine. It's called Papa L. P-O-P-P-I-L-L-O-M-A.
Papilloma. Yeah, viral yes, papilloma.
Yep. We know exactly what you're talking about.
Now, is there anybody that has a vaccine for dogs?
Oh, they talk about some places making, you make the vaccine with using the wart to make a, what they call an autologous vaccine, or if I'm getting the pronunciation of that right.
Right.
But anyhow, first of all, we'll back up a little bit for people. So you're talking about a wart that is contagious from dog to dog.
Yes.
And typically dogs get those from exposure to other dogs. So dogs that go to daycares or play in play groups or go to dog parks are typically how they get those.
How about from grooming?
If they have to be exposed to other dogs, so they have to be.
Yeah.
It has to be contact, you know, or
yeah.
they're using the same bowls, or there's
uh-huh.
or something like that. That's how they'll
yeah.
get that.
Yeah.
Well, I contacted Valley Vet Supply out in Maryville, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and they make a vaccine for the cattle. But they wrote back to me and they said they don't make it for a dog.
No.
Yeah, you don't want to get into that.
Yeah,
quite
that's
yet,
the vaccines that they are. You would go to a specialist who would formulate this vaccine. So you don't want to get into that. How long has your dog had it?
About a year now, and they're kind of multiplying.
Mm, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Any treatment that you were doing with your veterinarian?
Pharmaceutical Valley Vet Supply sent me a jar of cream.
No. So
put the cream on it.
How were these diagnosed, Dorothy?
Your veterinarian?
Dr. Haynes on Berlin Turnpike.
Well, if they're still there in a year...
Yeah.
It may be worth. Have you had one removed and biopsied?
Yes, I had a couple removed from his front legs because he was licking them. Now, the Dr. Haynes gave me a sample in a jar.
Okay.
And I wrote to Merck Pharmaceutical and Boston Scientific Center.
Yeah.
I wrote him a letter, and I haven't heard from them.
Okay.
What I am going to advise to you, if you are still seeing these after a year... Because that's a long time for these.
Yes.
I would go back and have them rechecked. Because the question here is, are these all still the viral papillomas? Or do we also have, there are other growths on dogs that can look very similar. So are we still dealing with the same thing? Or do we have other issues going on? Is there a reason why we would still have these? So I think I would probably go have these reevaluated.
Yeah. How old is your dog?
He's 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, especially being older, I'm in complete agreement with Dr. Saranovich on this. I think it's time to take another look after a year, because the thing is that we have things that now, especially older dogs, that have something that look like warts, but they're not the true papillomavirus that most of us are referring to right now. I mean, we see the papillomavirus mainly with dogs that are young, dogs that are going to daycare. They're getting them in their mouths, their foot pads, sometimes even their ears, and they're usually younger dogs. So there may be more than one type of virus or one type of sort of growth that you're dealing with. So after a year, it's time. It's definitely time to have reevaluated. And I'm sure Dr. Haynes will do.
Well, I've had him. He's my vet from the day he was born.
Oh, know Dr. Haynes. He's a love bug.
Yep. And I think you need to go back to Dr. Haynes and reevaluate these.
Yeah, after a year. Okay.
Well, is there any place that you know that makes a vaccine?
No.
No. No, nothing. They're working on it. Again, papillomavirus, I mean, I worked in large animals, and so we didn't see the true papillomavirus that we're talking about being viral. We didn't see it for years, and then with the invention and the popularity of these doggy daycares where dogs are sharing more toys and things like that, we're seeing more problems of it. All these adopted dogs being in one place. So.
And the other part is if these are still present after a year, then you should see Dr. Haynes to evaluate, is there any reason why your dog's immune system isn't fighting these off after this time? So that's why you need to regroup with him and talk with him again.
This is beyond you trying to order something online and try to treat yourself.
If I don't hear from Merck, I'm going to write to Pfizer.
I think you need to see Dr. Haynes to deal with the issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've been to him twice, and he removed them from the front leg.
Okay, good. And at least they're gone at this point.
He said they were warts.
Yep. And again, remember, there's different. Again, if there's different types of warts, and some are viral, some aren't.
Some are more cyst-like.
Yep. Yeah.
They're more in the cyst family, and they're not going to go away until you remove them.
And older dogs get a lot of those. Yeah. So we're just wondering if you started with one thing, and now we're into another thing that goes along with the age of your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, he's been a good dog, and I changed groomers. And once I changed groomers, I noticed these things popping up.
Yeah, I don't think I would put this on the groomer.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
No, you're trying to find answers, and we're trying to help you, and we completely understand. But we're leaning towards something else. We would never diagnose anything over the air on the phone, but that's why we're saying.
Can I ask you one thing? Is there anybody in the state, in the health department or of the state health department of animals, know of other animals that have this problem?
The viral warts are a known issue. We diagnose these all the time.
Yeah.
But again, what we are saying to you is after a year, these should be gone. The body should have gotten rid of them by now.
Usually they're gone after 2 to 3 months. If it's a true viral papillomavirus caused wart, Okay. They're
I'll
usually
bring you back to Haines. And
think
see.
That's perfect. Okay.
See what happens.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck.
Okay. Tell them that Dr. Dennis and Dr. Sarah Novich said to go see him again. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye now. Yeah, I know it gets confusing, and you know, just to try to make sure that we're clear to the rest of the audience too, is that we really do have these papillomavirus, and it's a virus that we really see these growths. And some dogs, the most common place is the mouth,
absolutely,
not the skin,
and it can look disgusting, and there can be lots of them. But they usually aren't around after a few months.
Right. And for those people that do have had their dog diagnosed with the viral papillomavirus, then, you know, and they're not going away on their own. Mm-hmm. I just saw a puppy today, had a huge one over its head and three in the mouth. Mm-hmm. They're practically all gone. But then we have some stubborn cases that we've put on something called azithromycin. Mm-hmm. So there's some treatments out there for those specific types of viral papilloma growths.
Right.
But other growths that may be in the cyst family, that they're not going to go away.
Right.
And that's part of our suspicion there. So Sheila, still hang in there for us because we're going to take our quick break. And then we're going to come on back for more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Vibrations, she's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up. Good vibrations. She's giving me
Oh, that's summertime music. Somebody's getting ready.
I like it.
I know. I could see you bebopping over there.
It's summertime.
I think that may be our music producer here, Justin Levine, getting ready for summer.
I think so, too. He's ready. He's ready for the beach.
And thank you for the music choices for today. Justin, we are back at the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. We will be back on a regular alternating schedule here on Saturdays coming up the rest of the month. And before we take, I think it's going to probably end up being our last phone call, but we just wanted to kind of finish this kind of the cycle that we started the show off with about, you know, us being allergic to our dogs and cats. And there has been a recent sort of evaluation and an opinion. And according to Dr. Leah Wright, she's an allergist out of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. She thinks that we can prove that some people may be allergic to dogs and only male dogs. And that's one of the questions. Is it just male dogs that you can be allergic to versus female dogs?
Mm-hmm.
And there is up to 30% of people are allergic to dogs are actually allergic to just one specific protein, according to Dr. Wright. And that's made in the prostate of the dog. Mm-hmm. So obviously females don't have prostate glands. Mm-hmm. Now that's only possibly up to 30%. But last May, the FDA approved a reliable blood test for this one specific allergen. And possibly, if you're allergic to only that specific protein in the male dog, you know, you may be able to tolerate a female or even a neuter dog is the philosophy with that. So, you know, there's more education, but it's research that we're constantly looking at. We know how important our pets are to us. And again, if you're allergic to, how do we live with our allergic dogs and cats, you know, versus, you know, having to give them up or not have one.
True.
Which is, and then also, too, we've got some other research with some food, right?
Yep, there's some research actually it's Purina. We keep talking about Purina today.
I know.
But Purina is doing some research on a food that decreases levels of the major cat antigen that we are allergic to.
And their saliva.
Mm-hmm. So they're developing, they have some people doing research to try to develop a diet that will help you if you're allergic to that antigen in your cat. It may make your life a whole lot easier, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. So that's coming. They talked about it when we went to a veterinary meeting in January, and that was a big topic mm-hmm. that the Purina was giving out. So stay tuned, because anything that's new that we have really vetted to bring out to your attention, we will continue to do things like that. And a nice little cute story, happy ending you have for me.
Yeah, so last time we talked about the Motorworks Brewing Company of Bradenton, Florida, on their beer cans, they were putting out some adoptable dogs from a shelter mm-hmm. to try to help them find homes. And apparently, there was a woman from Minnesota scrolling through her Facebook feed, and she sees these cans, and one of them looks really familiar to her. She had lost a dog 3 years prior. It was her dog, Hazel. And so she contacted them, and sure enough, the dog had a microchip. It was her microchip that just she had not updated the information. So for all of you whose dogs have microchips, update your information when you move. Update your contact info. Mm-hmm. This has turned out to be her dog.
What a happy ending.
It's an incredible happy ending.
3 years.
3 years later, and the shelter was actually going to drive the dog up to her.
Oh, God. That's
amazing.
People are so, I think many times, other than sometimes the cruelty aspect, barring that, when the topic is around or the issues around pets, people are just so giving mm-hmm. and go above and beyond. So we're in a good profession there, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sheila, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you have a question.
I have a wonderful vet, and this comes from a conversation last night I had with him.
Mm-hmm.
I have Finnish lap hounds, and I have a wonderful male. He's starting to show. He loves to be in the show ring. He's a real prancer. He's okay with the judge, but you're going to laugh. He doesn't like people.
Oh, no. Well, you got to be all right with
the
judge.
That's funny, but he's okay with all the people in the show ring. That's funny.
Well, yeah, in the show ring, it's like he knows it's his job and
yes.
he's okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
as soon as I take him out, you know how dog shows are,
mm-hmm.
I have to put him back in his crate or in the
yeah.
car because he's just not happy.
Right.
And nervous. I mean, now he's not going to bite anybody or anything.
He's
not like that.
Stressed.
It's just like he looks around like, oh, God, people.
Right. Yeah. So are you looking for something to calm him or relax him?
Well, I have. I've used the calming sniffers, the various odd things that you can get at PetSmart. Because he's a show dog and he's so beautiful and everything, and I don't want to do anything to his personality.
Right.
I'm not going to drugs yet.
Right.
Okay.
But Dr. My vet.
Yeah.
Can I say his name?
Sure.
Dr. Shakin at the VCA Valley Animal
yep.
Hospital in South Windsor said that Purina has done a study about this probiotics that they're making
yep.
and it's calming dogs down.
Yeah, so it's called Calming Care. I've had a couple dogs now that I think it really made a difference. It's not immediate. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks. But I have one. This was a dog that, yes, it was already on Prozac, but it had a terrible time with thunderstorms, even though it was on Prozac. And what she reported was that after about 6 weeks, the dog would sleep on her bed during a thunderstorm and was fine.
Because the product is out. It's out.
It's
on the market.
And it's called what again?
It's Purina Calming Care. And it's a little powder. They seem to like the taste of it. You
mm-hmm.
just sprinkle it on some food. And I've had a couple now that, again, it's not immediate, but I've had a couple now where it definitely helped them.
And I think,
thank goodness.
Yeah, we've been asking, you know, is there something that we could use for cats? But this is just for dogs right now?
They say they're working, hopefully, that they might be working on it for cats. I don't
right.
know that yet, but I'm hoping they are because cats can certainly use it too. But I think it's worth a shot because it's not like, you're right, you're in a show ring, you don't want a dull personality or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
But it's probably worth a try to see if it boosts his little courage a little bit.
Yeah, so we support your doctor's recommendation, and it fits the bill, what you're describing, something that might help, but is not technically a drug.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, show dogs for one thing. And then again, his personality is so sweet
mm-hmm.
that I don't want to change it. You know, I don't want to change it at all. All right, well, listen, I'm going to try it. I just wanted a second opinion,
sure.
and there you are.
Well, good luck, and we would love to hear.
Let us know. We'd love to hear if it helps.
I know you've helped me because this is Max, and you've helped me. This is a puppy that I, you know, I have the female and the male, and, you know, he was the lone survivor. She had a terrible time with these pups, but he came out and screaming his brains out, and I've had him since hour one.
Excellent.
And he's a wonderful dog, but he doesn't like people.
So, look, let's give, what about your opinion on the Westminster Dog Show and the winner of that show? Did you watch that, or do you not? No, okay, never mind. No. No, you don't have to give your opinion.
I really was rooting for that Whippet. I thought that Whippet was so fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand the whole poodle thing. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you
mm-hmm.
know, I just thought that Whippet was a class act.
Yeah.
That dog was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. But yet so many people in the audience were rooting for the Golden Retriever.
And the golden retriever as well.
Yeah, yes, yeah, that was all good.
You know, but they win a lot, so I was really rooting for the Whippet.
Yeah, the Whippet was cute.
I do love Whippets.
And if he and with that walk, you can't walk any faster, can you? Than the Whippet's legs are moving.
Oh yeah, I could not show a Whippet. I have to show something like a herding dog, where they stay right with you. You know,
they plod along.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, no, they plod along, and I really appreciate you giving us a little bit of your opinion, seeing that you know the show ring, and it's the, you know, the big thing that we do in February is watch that show, and they're all just
course,
so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, they are. And this guy's grandfather was the first Finnish Laphound to take Best of Breed at Westminster, so we're trying to follow in his footsteps.
Then we're rooting.
That's exciting. That's cool.
We're rooting for you, Sheila. Okay, let us know. Let us know how it goes. We'll give it about 6 to 8 weeks. Okay.
I will. I'll call you back and let you know if he likes people.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a good way to make that our last call of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, gosh, you want them to be alert and be right on top of things. So, well, another show, another hour just like that. I see Law Talk is up, and I think one of my high school friends just walked by. I think he's a guest.
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to say Steve Latanzio's name. He better be a guest. But Law Talk is up next. Dr. Saranovich and I will be back in a couple of weeks. Lori Fass, I believe, will be here next week. So if you didn't get to call in next time. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.